Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Chandler Rome had some things to say about the Stros. He was on the Killer G's earlier today. I heard it went great. Let's go out to the HRP listener line before we get to Rome's quotes, though. Terry, he wants to talk about Jose Altuve. Terry, you're in the Hive. What's going on, man?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Honored to converse with you here today. So I'm not a analytical baseball guy, not into the numbers as much as you guys are, so I need you to educate me here. I know in football the quarterback's a very important position. You got to pull me back off the edge here, man. I'm last 7 years or last 8 years, make seven conference finals or division, what do you call it, thinking, the league finals. And Jose Altuve's a legend, man. Is the second base position, are we going to suck this year if he's playing second base, or this just came on the last couple of years, or what's going on?
Yeah, he's been awful defensively for the last 3 years.
I mean, and Jeremy uses the term for Chaz, but it's also true of Altuve that in the last 4 or 5 years he's had a noodle for an arm. It just fell off the planet and got really bad.
I think you can get away with a noodle arm at second for what
it's
worth.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's kind of the way you were saying the two least important positions on the diamond,
yeah,
especially from a throwing position. Left field, you still are going to have to make throws from the outfield, whereas most all of your throws are essentially from, except for a few cutoffs and relays, you're going to have to just throw from second base to first base. Mm-hmm. And yet Jose's had a lot of problems even doing that with any zip on it from time to time. To where his skills, as much as they haven't diminished offensively a whole lot, his skills have diminished a great deal defensively.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, it's inarguable. Like they have statistics that literally back this up, and they're not good. But you can get away with it. Like, I mean, the Astros got away with him at second base last year. They got away with him at second base 2 years ago. But he has turned into a negative defensively over the last 3 years. It's inarguable. Like, he is negative defensively. So if you have a negative defensive player at second base, do you feel like it could be less of a negative in left? I personally think it can be. I personally think it would be. Like, even if you don't, like, I don't love this scenario, but let's say the Astros don't add to this team, okay? Let's say they don't add to this team. I hate this scenario. I want them to add Verdugo because I hate the idea of Chaz McCormick playing in right field. Like, we're just glossing over noodle-arm Chaz McCormick playing right field. Like, these opponents aren't going to go first to third like a windmill. It's going to be like Gary Pettis is coaching third for every other team in Major League Baseball when Chaz McCormick is in right field and runners are trying to go to first to third. I would love Verdugo. I would love Jason Hayward, quite frankly, because he's a capable defensive right fielder. Randall Gurchik, a lot of the texters are weighing in saying they want Gurchik, which Gurchik would be an upgrade. I think they want a left-handed bat. He's right-handed. I say screw that. He's your best outfielder, potentially, if you bring him in. So I would be in favor of that as well. But if you don't bring anybody in, you're starting position players. You have Yiner behind the dish. Christian Walker's at first base. Let's leave second base out for a moment. Pena's at short. Isak is at third base. Jake's in center. Chaz is in right. Altuve is going to be in the mix at either left and second. Who is your ninth? Who's your eighth best player right now? Probably Dubon. So are you better overall defensively as a team with Mauricio Dubon, who is a gold glover, playing the more important position at second base and Altuve playing left, or putting Dubon at the least important defensive position in left field and a bad second baseman at second? You're better with Dubon at second and Altuve in left, and it's not even arguable.
No, I think that at a certain point, when you look at it, too, that's why I hope they're not done. That's why I hope that this is just talk at this point and hearsay and rumors, and we're going to find out that at a certain point they're going to do kind of put the finishing touches on what I think has been a really, really savvy offseason to this point, just because of the fact that you actually got better defensively in the infield. If you're trying to do this, and like you said, regardless, because you have a gold glove first baseman, if they bring Bregman back, you could have a gold glove third baseman. Pena's an above-average fielding shortstop, in my opinion. And if Paredes plays second, he's got a stronger arm. He's probably in a better place to be a better fielder at this point in his career than Altuve, to where your infield could be really, really, really good if that's the case. The outfield's a disaster, and they have to do, I think, multiple things to try and fix it. One thing would be to get at least one quality outfielder that's still out there. The second thing would be either hope to God that Chaz has a year like 2 years ago, not last year, or to at least get a fourth outfielder that can be someone that is at least capable of still throwing a baseball with some zip on it, hitting a baseball for average and or power, and do some things that can help you, because you know how much I cringe at having Jake and Chaz in the same outfield.
Yeah, and if you have – look, I think that if you had Altuve in the left, Jake in center, Chaz in right, again, not ideal, that would be a rangy outfield. Like, they would be able to catch fly balls. Like, I have – Jake Meyers is a really good defensive center fielder. Great range, was a gold glove finalist last year. Chaz McCormick, really good range. Altuve's fast. He'll be fine range-wise. So you would have a very – I don't want to say very good. You would have a rangy outfield that could go catch the baseball. Yeah. On the other hand, you would have the weakest throwing outfield in the history of the game.
Especially at the corners.
In the history. And, I mean, Jake has a noodle arm, too.
Yeah.
Altuve doesn't have a good arm. Jake doesn't have a good arm. Chaz and Wright would be a disaster. It would be a nightmare. I'm way more fearful of Chaz and Wright than Altuve and left, for what it's worth. Because you need a strong arm to throw a guy out going first to third. You hide your weak arms in left field, quite frankly. But I mean, that's the conversation here. Quite frankly.
Thank you, Stephen.
If the Astros don't add anybody else, what I think they'll do, and look, you're going to have battles. Like, you're going to have spring. Like, if Melton hits 400 in spring training with 15 bombs, he might make the big league club. So there's still going to be battles that go on before all of this is determined by opening day. But my gut right now, before the full team, the pitchers and catchers even report, is I believe that they would have a Dubon DiZenzo platoon. Whenever, because Dubon's better against lefties, Dubon wasn't bad against righties last year, but DiZenzo is a reverse split guy, hits righties better than lefties. Dubon is better against lefties over the course of his career than righties. I think that they would start Dubon against lefties, and in those games, I think Dubon would play second. And then when they start DiZenzo, I think he would play left and Altuve would play second, which is a little scary too, because I'm not sure about DiZenzo's defense in left field.
Either way, I don't like the kind of uncertainty and the inability to find guys that have played positions before for a team that I think can still be really good. That's why I would hope that with the moves that they made to show that they're not really looking to just kind of softly hit the reset button and or just kind of project more for the long term by bringing in Walker, by finding a solution for Bregman, and I think in a lot of ways not losing a whole lot there. Yes, you got rid of Tucker, but at the same time, that's why if you can just find the right outfield combination, still having Yordan, a Yiner on the way up, this team can compete. But if you leave that outfield like it is, status quo, then I think that that is a massive, massive hole that you might not be able to do anything with.
I don't disagree. The outfield's a disaster, mm-hmm. especially from an offensive standpoint. I mean, there's a lot of problems with the outfield. A lot of Chaz and Wright, his arm terrifies me. Their offensive production in the outfield is awful. Awful, awful, awful. They're not a complete team. Like, you are kind of trying to patch it together unless they go sign more players, which it doesn't seem like they're really willing to do that unless it might be Alex Bregman, which they're not even sure about that. I mispronounced Trammell's name, by the way, yesterday. People were criticizing me. It's Trammell, apparently.
Is it? Yeah, it doesn't. So, like, Bullock.
Yeah. That's why they're criticizing me. You're going to be a stickler for Bullock, but you're not going to be a stickler for Trammell. I was like, you know what? You're right. That's my bad. That's on me.
I had no idea. If you take it's spelled, one of the best second basemen in the history of baseball played second base, Alan Trammell.
Yeah. I think it might be spelled different, but who cares? Here was Chandler Rome on with the Killer G's today about Jose Altuve. And look, he kind of addressed this little position fear with Jose.
If that long shot happens and Bregman comes back, we've already discussed that Jose Altuve would be in left field. And I think now this prompts legitimate questions about Jose Altuve's defensive future. He was never going to end his career as the Astros second baseman. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a really, really good player, but you can't ignore the defensive metrics right now. He's, if not the worst, maybe the second worst defensive second baseman in baseball. This is an Astros pitching staff that has two pitchers atop its rotation in Valdez and Brown that induce more ground balls than any pitchers in baseball. They need a good infield behind them, and last year the right side of their defensive infield was terrible. It's hard to hide a bad defensive second baseman across 162 games, as you saw last year. So what I will be fascinated to see is, once the Bregman saga concludes, where does Altuve play defensively next year, and how does that impact what Joe Espada does on a daily basis?
Yeah, first time I heard that guy knows ball. The guy knows what he's talking about, that Chandler Rome.
A lot of patting on the back while Rome was talking.
I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm patting Chandler Rome on the back. That guy knows what's up. The other problem here, though, like in all seriousness, you have two guys that you want to DH. Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve, at this stage of his career, should be DHing. Yordan Alvarez, because he is so important offensively. People get mad whenever I call him injury prone. He has a bad body, has mysterious injuries, had that knee thing, doesn't need surgery, whatever. You have two guys that should be DHs, and that's
you're right,
tough.
But I did see Harold Reynolds and I think Vesgergen were doing something on MLBNet that might have made it to Twitter as well, where he was talking about the fact that he had a conversation with Yordan, and he said that some guys just aren't cut out to be DHs because they don't stay engaged, they don't like it. It's like four pinch hit appearances, and it's more difficult for them. And he brought up the stats, or someone there brought up the stats on screen, that showed that when he plays left field, almost all of his offensive stats are significantly better than they are when he just DHs. And so I'm here to listen to that, simply because if he wants to play left field, and I get it, I know, and we've all, we've all jumped on the bandwagon of the Yordan rules. But at the same time, I think he also looks at guys like Judge, who still plays the field all the time, and maybe they're not even close to the same outfielders, but there are guys that just want to be in every part of the game, not just, I get four at bats a game. Whereas other guys are just cool going, hey, I'll just analyze the situation, prepare to, for my next at bat, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I think that can be real. I don't know if it's necessarily real with Yordan. I know Chris would call in last year and he would bring this up. And Yordan's career numbers would back it up as well. Yordan, whenever he plays left field, .325 average, a 1,042 OPS. Really good. As a DH, .286 with a .939 OPS. So over the course of his career, there is some validity to that. But if you look at last year alone, left field, he hit .322 with a .954 OPS. DH, he hit .300 with a .962 OPS. So his OPS was better last year as a DH than it was as a left fielder. So is it real? Is it not real? Did it matter in the past? Does it not matter now? That's why they pay Joe Espada, the most interesting manager in the world, the big bucks. But at the same time, he's so good offensively. In my opinion, you can't risk injury with him in left. Maybe you can do it once every 5 days when Fromber's pitching, when Hunter Brown's pitching. He's too important to me offensively, and I think he put some of that narrative to rest last year. He's DHing for me. That's where I'm at. I know a lot of people are different about that. Let's get to some more Rome sound bites. A lot of people on the text line, too. 713-780-3776. Altuve in left, is it your greatest fear? A lot of people, too, wondering if the Astros are contenders still. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. Thoughts of Alex Bregman perhaps being an Astro. Look, there's still people thinking that the Astros could be the favorites here. Jeff Blum was on MLB Network or MLB TV. He's like, yeah, Astros, but that might be, the organization. I don't know. Maybe he's just being overly optimistic about it. But Chandler Rome took the opposite approach. He does not think that the Astros are favorites to sign Bregman.
There was some reporting out there that suggested this was fait accompli, that, you know, Bregman was going to come back and it was going to be this grand welcoming. And yes, he still could come back and it still could happen, but I've never thought that the Astros were the favorites, and I've never thought that this was a sure thing to happen. You know, I think it's, you know, as to where he ends up, I can't tell you. I don't know that. I do think he has compelling offers. I don't think this is a situation where he's got, you know, no interest and the Astros are just kind of lingering and hoping he falls back. I think he's got competitive offers. Like, he's got the sort of offers that are going to intrigue him from other teams. And I think at this point it's just a matter of Alex kind of needs to either make a decision or they need to do the final full court press on the five owners involved, the five GMs involved, to kind of see, all right, what's the last offer, what's the last thing, and then the negotiations are going to pick up from there. But I would not characterize the Astros as the favorite.
Fait accompli. What a show off.
I mean, first of all, from a Bregman standpoint, pooper get off the pot, because it has taken way too long for us to be in this position. And on top of that, I am a little bit fearful that the Astros just want to avoid the negativity of saying that we've moved on from Alex Bregman, so they are just waiting to see if you believe what Chandler says, then you just are waiting for him to sign somewhere else so you can say, see, it wasn't us, it was him, and then they can feel better about their image while they move forward. But overall, I just wish they'd move on in the same way I think they tried to send the message without sending the message by going and doing what they did to retool their infield prior to this. Then just put the final nail in the coffin and say, you know what, we're going to go get an outfielder, we're going to go get a guy that we know can help us, we're done, and be done with it. But I don't think they can do that.
I guess I would push back a little bit on the idea that Bregman needs to poop or get off the pot, because it's January 31st. I mean, he's a veteran hitter.
There's not enough time in the baseball for offseason.
Yeah, well, he's got, to me, at least a month before I'm concerned at this point. I mean, March 1st was my guess the other day. Like, I don't see, especially if we take Chandler Rome at his word, and he's talking about multiple competitive offers. At one point, he mentioned five teams. I mean, why? I mean, like, wait, hold out. Because maybe the bidding war increases as teams get a little bit more urgent.
You can hope, right? But I think it's also to save face, because we've already heard he doesn't want to make less than he made last year. He doesn't want to look like he took a pay cut. He doesn't, you know, I think he and Scott Boras don't want to be in a situation where it looks like they completely misjudged the market. But yeah, if he had compelling offers and that they were at the price that he was expecting to get, maybe he would already be signed. But because of the fact that and maybe he really truly was hoping for the reunion here and that they were going to be truthful to what they were saying to the media about he was priority one. But regardless, those offers can't be exactly what he wanted, or I think he'd already be signed. And I think that
every dollar, man.
Yeah, I mean, what if
I think both sides are playing a little bit of emotion that they don't want to talk about.
There's no way to prove any of this right until he signs.
Correct.
Like, this, it's all a hypothesis. But I would also say, like, I don't think that he needs to be in a rush. And let's say signing now versus signing in 2 to 3 weeks cost him $5 million long term. Like, if it's an additional $5 million on his total contract, not yearly, his total contract, like, it's $156.6 the Astros offer or whatever. What if he can get $165.6 by waiting 3 more weeks? Of course he does that. Of course. So I don't think that he needs the, like, eventually, yes, but it's not today. It might be 3 more weeks, 4 more weeks.
He obviously didn't get the money that he thought he was going to get right out of the chute.
We don't know that, though. Like, what if he signs today for $175 million 6 years? You would be wrong on that narrative.
Well, because someone changed their mind, or because someone's plans changed.
But if there's multiple offers that are competitive.
When I said the offseason isn't nearly long enough. Because he always says that we have way too much time.
Oh,
there is way too much time.
That was a good pull. I forgot he said that.
I was looking at you like, come on, you got to be with me on that. But yeah, no, I just look, in my personal opinion, I think they misjudged the market. I think Scott Boras has completely swung and missed, at least early on. You're right. It can all be salvaged. Look, the Mets might finally walk away from Alonso because, again, they're in a kind of a similar situation, different in the fact that maybe not for as long a term, but there's a lot of emotions in Pete Alonso staying with the Mets.
If Bregman gets more than 156 over six, would you say you were wrong about that?
Absolutely, because
again, that's the line,
even
right?
goes to what you and I were talking about. Let's judge this after 6 years to see how much money he made.
Yeah.
But if, to me, it feels like he hasn't got the offers to get to that 156. But you're right. In 6 years, if he makes more than the
No. I'm talking about, because even if we don't do the math on it, like, let's say that Alex Bregman signs a contract at some point that's north of 156 for six.
Right.
Like,
then I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't know that yet. Like, we there's no way right. of knowing.
I just don't think there's any advantageous reason for Bregman to act on a deal or an offer early.
I would agree.
Like unless you're getting
it's
Soto.
Early. It's January 31st. Sure. It's not early.
But, like, unless you're getting Soto, or, you know, Shohei, some ridiculous offer where why in the world would you ever turn down? Yeah. Why not, especially if there are multiple teams involved, wait out till a team becomes more urgent and pushes the bid up, even if it's just $5 million more, $5 million more.
I think...
There's no reason to act right now.
My guess on this is that they're trying to nickel and dime what they get. I think that they're trying to work owners against owners. We know that. Mm-hmm. Boris is notorious for that. I have a feeling he's going to get more than 156 for six.
Do you?
I do.
I don't.
I do. I think he has an offer in hand that's north of 156 for six.
I think I've read a couple different places that he is not intrigued by Toronto, no matter what their offer is, and I've heard that Toronto is in the ballpark of 6 years.
Like yeah, that could be it. Maybe he has 170 for six from Toronto, but he really wants to be an Astro. But the Astros aren't budging off the 156 for six. Like that could be the hangup, and that would also back up like all the reporting on this. Like Astros don't want to budge off 156 for six. There are a ton of offers for Alex Bregman, or at least a offer for Alex Bregman. So it wouldn't shock me if Bregman has. And I think I said this yesterday. It wouldn't shock me if Bregman has an offer or two north of 156 over six from teams he does not want to play for, and he's using those offers against the Astros, or it could be Boris just lying, to your point,
yeah.
Which is always possible. That's why we don't. Yeah, that's why this is like a fruitless conversation until he signs.
That's why he loves the fact that he wants it to marinate when the Astros, and then the media just ran with it to do exactly what he wanted, gave him that extra chip of, hey, they're back in this. So now maybe that forces extra money or a knee-jerk reaction from teams that were thinking that the number was going to continue to come down.
Yeah. Texture says, I say Bregman is bluffing. Possible. Like, there's always a 10% chance somebody is bluffing the great Dan Harrington.
Thank you for that reference. They're a great poker player. But I just feel like if the idea is he has no offer greater than the Astros 6-156, and we all believe at the same time, in addition to that, that his first choice is to play for the Astros, then he would have signed with the Astros. Like, if all the offers were falling below 156 and he most wanted to play for the Astros, he would have signed. Like, the only reason to me to be still holding out to this point is A, get more money, or B, try to drag the Astros up to that number the closer you get to opening day.
For a team that he doesn't want to play for.
Right.
Yeah. I think that those are the most likely scenarios. And I would throw in the option C, that Boris is just flat out bluffing. Like, that's always possible.
And you guys might be right that he's also hoping that, hey, because there's still time, that at a certain point, teams miss out or recalculate what they didn't get that they thought they were going to bring to their team or whatever. And they go, hey, you know what? There's still Bregman out there. He might be a better plan B than what we're looking at. And maybe he's hopeful that they do sweeten an offer.
One more from Rome saying that the Astros will not go over the competitive balance tax for anyone besides Alex Bregman.
It's hard to know because the last two winters, including this one, I've reported, and it's been right, that Jim Crane has been reluctant to go over the luxury tax. And then last year he gave $95 million to Josh Hader on a whim. And this year they're apparently back in the Bregman sweepstakes, which would skyrocket them over the CBT. So the short answer is I don't really know. I think if given his druthers, he would stay under it. But he only kind of exceeds it for that, pardon the pun, that luxury item. And to you, Josh Hader is a luxury item. Alex Bregman certainly fits that mold too. If there's, beyond Bregman, there's really nothing else that would quantify as that. So I would kind of say that they would probably stay under.
Thunder pun from Chandler Roman. That annoys me. I'm going to tell you why that annoys me next. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. HRMP never annoys me. In fact, they're the opposite of that. They please me. They'll please you, too, if you're a business owner, because they're going to help you make you run your business easier. How about that thought? Mike Hall, U of H class of 1990. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. You want 2025 to be the year you finally get your business running the way you want it to, efficiently, and let HRP help you do that. They provide comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. You probably really wish you had them this time of year, with tax season right around the corner. It is tax season. HRP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. You need a help in one area, two areas, bunch of areas. Well, HRP is going to work with you to figure out how they can help. They will help, and they're going to sit you down and figure out that plan. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You're not reading off a menu. You're not ordering off a menu. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always call someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. Look, I'm an email guy. I always email them anytime I have a question. Very easy to understand, very quick to respond. Love that we use HRP here at Gal. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or visit them online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So the crane only willing to spend money for like the sizzle, for the luxuries. It really annoys me. Like, I appreciate that he's willing to spend, because a lot of people call Jim Crane cheap, and that's not accurate. Like, Crane was over the luxury tax last year. He's at or near the luxury tax this year. He's willing to go over it for Alex Bregman at a more than fair contract. So, like, the whole Jim Crane's cheat, that's a false narrative. But I do feel like he tries to cut the corners. Like, I do feel like he tries to cut the fat off a little bit. Like, we heard the Chandler Rome soundbite on that previous segment. Like, he wouldn't have signed anybody else, but because it was Hader and maybe a little bit of fear after losing Kendall Graveman, he's willing to sign Hader. Same scenario here. Like, he's willing to do it for Alex Bregman, even though you can make the case that there are better ways to spend $26 million than Alex Bregman. And we go back to, like, the Crane, Bagwell days after they fired James Click, and then you even go further back to whenever they fired Luno, and Crane's like, I'm not going to be surprised going forward. I'm going to have my hands in this more than ever, which was probably the worst thing he could do. I understand, like, yeah, he didn't want a general manager to cheat again, but him meddling has been bad. I wish he would just set a budget for Dana Brown or any of his general managers and then get out of the way. Like, this is how much you have to spend. This is what I want my payroll to be. Be at the competitive balance tax. I don't even care if you go over. I understand why you wouldn't want to go over, but be at the competitive balance tax. But let your general manager know the budget, know what the payroll is going to be, and then let him cook. I don't like the whole, well, yeah, I'm only going to do it for Alex Bregman, especially when you can make a more than resounding argument that it's better to spend $26 million other ways.
No, I'm with you. I think that's the thing. I think that he's continually kind of learning on the fly as he owns this team that, not that you have to sit everyone out, and you're always going to be involved when it comes to the money that you spend and the guy that signs off on a bigger deal. But I totally believe that this team, as much as they have reaped the benefits and it's been an unbelievable relationship between them and Alex Bregman, I thought we were done with this after they made the moves for Walker and Paredes. I thought after those deals were done, so was Bregman. Now here we are, still dabbling in this. It's still being like a dangled over everybody's heads. And it's like, if you just want to be smart about how can I make this team the best baseball team it can be for this upcoming season and probably for the future too, then it's in your best interest to do the very tough thing of cutting bait with Alex Bregman, getting players that truly play positions where you have a position of need, and taking your chances going forward. And it just doesn't seem like he's willing to do it.
Just give your guy a budget and let him work.
It really feels like he's asking Dana Brown at times to construct this team with an incomplete picture of what he has available. Right? Because, like, Dana Brown goes into the offseason thinking, okay, I have this available to fix these areas of need, and yet he gets to a point, you know, two months plus into the offseason, he's like, well, actually, you have extra money, but only for this player. Like, there's got to be, to your point, like, tell him what the budget is overall and let him just fill that out to a point to fix the team. But he gets 2 months into the offseason, all of a sudden the resources he has changed when he could have potentially used those resources to fix, I don't know, maybe the worst outfield in the American League. So it's just frustrating. I mean, Joel, I mean, not that you were making this point, but you mentioned, like, learning on the fly. I mean, he's been the owner since, what, 2013? 24? I mean, whatever. I don't know what exactly he was. He bought it from Drayton McClain. But he's 10-plus years into this. Like, the idea of learning on the fly, I know things have changed. The cheating scandal changed his involvement. But, like, time for learning on the fly is past.
But I think that it's also, like, the speed of it's going to be where you get acclimated is different in every situation, right? If you've never been in sports before and you're working with guys that have reputations for being in sports a long time, like your general manager, even if it's a Luno that's been in baseball his whole life, it's a lot more difficult to try to find the time when you feel comfortable, no matter if you're the owner or not, vetoing or going and saying, I want this. And some guys are different. Some guys are just like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, regardless of what you think about it. And other guys are going to be like, I got sound baseball guys. They're making good decisions. The team is winning. I'm staying out of it. But then when you kind of taste the success and you've seen a little bit more, maybe personnel in the front office changes, you feel like, I can do this. I mean, now I feel like this is truly my team.
It just, I mean, not only the time that he's been the owner, it's got to be at least 12, 13 years at this point, is to me an example of why he's well past learning as he goes. But he's seen two successful general managers build two separate championship teams. Like, he's had not only the seat at the wheel for 10 plus years, but he's seen two examples of how to build a championship roster. We're well past the idea of learning on the fly. You've seen the examples.
Yeah, he's fired at both too.
Yeah,
on top of
exactly.
That, Patrick on the Twitch says that he's cheap. See, he cuts corners. You can't say cheap. Last year, the Astros were third in payroll. The year prior to that, they were 11th in payroll. No, they were third in payroll. Nope, they were 11th in payroll. That's not great. 2022, they were 11th in payroll, according to Steve the Ump. They were 7th in payroll in 21. They were 4th in payroll in 2020. They were 8th in payroll in 2019. They were 11th in payroll in 2018. And the year they won the World Series, they were 18th in payroll. I wouldn't say that's cheap.
No, that's top 10 almost. I mean, like, except for 2017, they're top 11 every year and most of the times top 10. And you mentioned a couple top fours.
Yeah, so third last year.
It's not cheap. It's just kind of Jerry Jones, let's go for the splash instead of what's smart.
Yeah. Keith from L.A. to the – does Houston want Bregman back? I'm asking the question. I think it's kind of split now. You know what? I'm going to put that to a Twitter poll during the break, Keith from L.A. So I'll get back to you on that. Because I think – what do you think the results on that will be? We'll run it for an hour 20. That way we do it, but we'll get it by the end of the show. What do you think the results on that will be? Very Houston-specific following.
70-30 want Bregman.
You think it's that high?
I do.
See, I was thinking it's going to be like 60-40.
Maybe. I just don't think the average fan's going to dig into the numbers.
I also think that people are fed up with it, though. They're fed up with this dragging on. So I think that would change. If you had asked this a month ago, I think the numbers would have been higher. But now that it's dragging on new information, I think it's going to send the numbers lower. How are the Astros over the luxury tax if there's not any really big superstars? They're slightly under, but they have a lot of big contracts.
Yep.
Rafael Montero, you're still paying on him. Josh Hader's got a big contract. Paying on Abreu. Altuve's got a big deal. Jordan's not a big deal, but Jordan's making a significant amount of money. Fromber's making a significant amount of money. It adds up. Adds up quick. It's looking like Bregman is going to have the same kind of contract as Correa. That's potentially true. He might have to settle for a short-term deal. Somebody said that Bregman's bluffing. Bregman always needs time to warm up. Laughing face emoji. There is that. Texter, this is a very unserious move by a pretender in my eyes. Talking about Altuve. Crane and company moving a 5'5 Hall of Famer to left instead of signing anyone to anyone competent to the position in left field is just Band-Aid on an ACL tear. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that. I think it's a better way to play a lesser defensive player. Local kid I've tracked, Randall Gerchick, since free agency, so his market has been as a platoon player. I'm just confused why he would not jump on the Astros unless he is maybe being greedy. I don't think the Astros want a right-handed outfielder. I think that's the hang-up with Gerchick.
Okay. I mean, I just want capable outfielders. I think that's the kind of move, like, that mid-market teams are trying to do just to try and stay relevant, even if it doesn't mean that you're getting guys that naturally played the position. I just don't see a team that still feels like they are contenders putting an outfield either out there that's that bad or not going to get an, at least one outfielder that makes you a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's say we sign Bregman. Any chance for him at second or right? No. They nope. flat out said that.
Yeah, Dana said it.
They'll bring him to third base. Why not Jordan in left? His arm's surprisingly good. Yes, but it's more injury mitigation of why you don't want Jordan in left. He's not a good defensive left fielder either. Let's be very honest about that. He's also a below-average left fielder, Jordan is. Yes, he has a good arm, mm-hmm. but he's still a below-average left fielder. Texture, are we no longer contenders? Competing is not enough. Blow it up if we're not contending for a World Series. I still think they're a playoff team.
I do, too.
I would like for outfield help, but I still think that they're a playoff
team. See, that's a scary thing. That's
playoff
why...
team with this outfield as it currently is?
Yeah, I think so. I think they can pitch well enough, and I like their top of the order.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're a wild card team, at least with this infield, these bats, and this pitching staff. I think that they win the division again if they just get some help in the outfield because they still have that much talent. So I don't think that they want to blow it up. I think that they're very close to not having to blow it up, but that's what adds the extra frustration to still being so deeply concerned about this Bregman situation.
Yeah, I wonder how much they like their youngsters, but even then, like Melton, I don't think is ready. Dana's even said that like these youngsters aren't close. Cam Smith can play outfield, but you know, if you don't bring back Bregman, he's probably going to be a third baseman. I think it's possible that Altuve might be as good or better defensively at left than he's been at second. He looks to me like he got the yips at second. He did for that one playoff. I think the yips are over with, though.
I agree.
It's possible that he's got a good enough arm to let it rip from left, and his speed will make up the difference. I do think it's possible he's better in left field than second base.
I think he can be quick in the alleys, into getting to the alley. I think that he can cover some ground. It's just that arm worries me. And
in left field, though, I'm not that worried about an arm.
I also worry about him getting hurt in the outfield, running, you know, a lot more sprints and things like that and quick twitch stuff that we've seen when he runs the bases. He gets hurt a lot. I have a fear that playing the outfield gives him a better chance to get hurt.
Texture just made Altuve an Astro for life. Hall of Fame player now calling him depleted. I said depleted defensively, and that would be a fact, not an opinion. Let's not forget that Altuve's willingness to move was only to have Bregman. Why do we assume he would move for any other player? Well, Dana Brown said that he's going to get some time in left field no matter what. In our guys' message group, we call it getting Tuve'd because he does some lazy, stupid, bad word a lot. He does have some gaffes. Altuve is prone to the gaffes. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who... set. We just had a great conversation, and now we're going to come to a screeching halt with who said it.
You mean approve the show?
Who said it's next?
It's kind of what we've done on Who Said It. We've come to a screeching halt.
That is true. Oh. We have. All right, that's next. 713-780-ESPN if you want to play along. It is the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it. He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Who said it? Now, it is the Bees. DJ Bienemy can't get here soon enough. 5 o'clock, top of the hour.
Yeah, you can't take a loss.
What's the streak up to?
I know you haven't won in January, but I don't know overall because there's long gaps.
We're 0 for 2025. That's right.
No, I thought we got at least one win.
No. You got two right total.
All right, screw it. Let's buck the odds and change all this.
Okay. All right, here we go. Quote number one. The Dylan Brooks thing. This is unheard of. We got 5 inches of snow and Dylan Brooks hit 10 threes. In 2025, it's just different. There's nothing... These two things will never happen again in our lifetimes, as we know it. We're not going to see 5 inches of snow, and we're not seeing Dylan Brooks hit 10 threes ever again.
I mean...
Lance?
It's not really a hot take.
No, but I hear Lance a lot.
I know that Dell was pretty anti-Dylan Brooks when he signed here.
Okay.
I don't know if he has, like, a vendetta against him. Yeah, one of those two, I think.
I have to share something with you in the break that is something that I think I've kind of picked up on.
But you don't want to tell Brian?
Well, because this might help to see if I'm right or not. This might
validate
my hypothesis.
Oh, go for it. Yeah. I'm all for trying to get off the schneid. Mark Grace had a thing or two to say about that once upon a time.
Slumpbusters? Yeah. So you think it might be Dell?
No, go for your see if it works.
Say Lance.
The Dylan Brooks thing. This is
awesome. Hey,
we got 5 inches.
Boy,
of snow.
Let's go.
Dylan Brooks hit 10 threes.
And 2025 is just different.
Is Lance on a payphone?
He was from at the Senior Bowl. And he,
on a payphone?
I don't know what he had, but it wasn't one of our Comrades.
It was a burner.
My gosh.
It was pretty bootleg.
It was cricket?
Yeah, it might have been a cricket.
I mean, if he wasn't a Hall of Famer, that was not suitable for air.
Sprint Mobile.
But if you're a Hall of Famer, you can get away with it? Yeah, we did.
Well, he did get away with it.
I know.
Yeah, not only did he get away with it then, we played it again. So we played it twice.
You can't do that if you're not a Hall of Famer. If it was one of us, Brian will do the show.
That wouldn't work at all. All right, quote number two. Let's see if Joel's up to something here. I hate that movie. Oh, let's build a baseball field in the cornfield. No one is going to go. It's in Iowa. What are you doing? This is not a smart business making venture. And you're the ghost of your dad comes out and you have a catch with him at the end because Shoeless Joe Jackson, who's apparently not burning in hell for cheating on baseball. Just kidding. I have no idea if there's an afterlife or anything like that.
It sounds like Paul.
I was going to say, I thought it was Joe.
No.
You want to go Paul?
There's too many big words there. One, it was too long and there are too many big words. I don't think Joe's saying like burn in the afterlife.
Okay.
And plus, wouldn't he like Iowa? Plus, he's like a baseball purist.
I don't know that he'd like the Midwest. Joe would like. You're right. Okay, let's go. You trusted me, I'll trust you. Let's go. I hate that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Was there a big word?
It's in Iowa.
Yeah, listen.
What are you doing?
Iowa.
This is not a smart business.
Iowa is more than, I guess, one syllable. But
that was one of the ones where Brian thought the quote was too good that he didn't care if
you
were.
Yeah, 100% fact. 100% fact. Actually, that's kind of most of these today. But anyway, we'll see how this goes. All right, quote number three. I was literally terrified that the Rockets were going to bring back James Harden. I mean, I was literally terrified. Like this whole James, but James could mentor the youth. Do you know what James would have mentored? This is where the best spots are for ass. That's the kind of stuff James would tell you about. You don't need that. You don't. I'm sure those guys can find that.
That's a morning show.
I honestly think of the two that Lance would use ass.
I could see Lance saying it more than John. Plus, I also think that John would have been as connected with the Rockets that he wouldn't have been fearful that they were going to sign Harden.
Oh, I don't think John likes Harden.
Right, but I think that John's well-connected, that he wouldn't have been fearful.
He is well-connected.
Right, so like, I don't think he would have been fearful that they weren't going to sign him, or that they were going to sign him, because he would have had insider information that they weren't going to sign him.
Okay.
So I think it's Lance on a couple of fronts. Yeah.
That was literally
terrifying. We win!
The Rockets were going to bring back James Harden. I mean,
look at the teamwork over here!
Like, this whole James, but James could mentor the youth. Do you know what James would have mentored?
It's a great...
This is where the best spots are for ass. That's the kind of stuff James would tell you about.
Lance gets on that payphone. He's on a roll.
I know. I had to play that one even if you got it right. It was too good. All right. Congratulations on your first win of the year.
Thank you.
One day before
now,
the month
is
over.
Now, can we set a new standard?
We've never done it.
You've never got to 5-0. You're two away. You got two more. Here we go. Quote number four. If you're going to be an awful fan base, how can you root for those people? I don't want them to win. They're a bunch of a-holes. I don't want a bunch of a-holes to win. I'd rather Taylor Swift. She's a nice young lady. She's such a wholesome. She shakes her booty a lot on the stage and stuff. If you don't like Taylor Swift, you're a bad person.
Joe.
You think it's Joe or you think it's John?
You think booty is John?
I think all the us are John.
One more time, Brian,
please.
If you're going to be an awful fan base, how can you root for those people? I don't want to see them win. They're a bunch of a-holes. I want to see a bunch of a-holes win. I'd rather have Taylor Swift. She's a nice young lady. She's such she's wholesome. She shakes her booty a lot on the stage and stuff. If you don't like Taylor Swift, you're a bad person.
I don't see Joe saying that. I think it's John or Dell. And I lean John.
Let's do it.
If you're going to be an awful fan base, how can you root for those people? I don't want them to win. They're a bunch of a-holes. I don't want a bunch of a-holes to win.
Who was he talking about? Philly?
Yeah, Eagles fans. Yeah.
He's rooting for the Chiefs like me.
Yeah, he's rooting for the Chiefs.
Look at Granato and I.
All right. You're on the brink of history. We may have to retire this segment if you guys finally go 5-0.
Sounds perfect. I've never been more excited about a question in my life.
You've never been more motivated for anything ever.
Yeah.
All right. Quote number five for history. I'm not trading a first-round pick for a receiver who wears floppy sleeves. The aesthetics matter to me. I don't want that guy. I'm not giving up a first-rounder for the floppy sleeves receiver. This ain't 1975, Garrett Wilson. You want to see that as your wide receiver? You probably don't care, and rightfully so. You shouldn't care, but I don't want to see it. If he comes here, he's got to get the tight sleeves.
Who's paying that much attention to sleeves?
One person. Who's the only person that cares about aesthetics in sports?
Paul.
Yeah.
It's big now.
I know. I understand the importance of this question. But I don't think Lance.
Can I hear it one more time,
Lance
please?
Cares too much about the scout.
Sometimes Lance goes this
more?
Way. Yes, please.
Okay. I'm not trading a first-round pick for a receiver who wears floppy sleeves. The aesthetics matter to me. I don't want that guy. I'm not giving up a first-rounder for the floppy sleeves receiver. This ain't 1975, Garrett Wilson. You want to see that as your wide receiver? You probably don't care, and rightfully so. You shouldn't care, but I don't want to see it. If he comes here, he's got to get the tight sleeves.
The only one it could be is Dell. Dell or Paul. Like, kind of Dell.
You don't
that
think
very...
Joe could say that?
No, he didn't know what
to say. And you don't think Lance could say that?
I think Lance is too caught up in the actual player to say that. Silliness.
I've said that in the past, and then Lance has gone with a totally,
just
like...
sarcastic?
Yeah, just kind of a snarky football take, and I was like, you can't obviously tell tone.
But he's used them twice, and he also said that most of his quotes this week were... the quotes were just so good enough he didn't care if they were obvious.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Jeremy's reading just trying to stare me down to see if I reacted.
I've already been down that road. I've tried that before.
I think it could be Dell in a nonchalant way. Is Dell sarcastic like that, though?
In the driest sense of dry humor, sarcastic.
But I also think that Dell would love Garrett Wilson. Because he's good.
He is good. See, that's why I don't know that you have to... Ruling out Joe is one thing. But Brian's used Lance in a very... kind of almost debate us, like, this is so, like, non-expert football guy take.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it again.
I don't think it's Joe. He didn't say like. He used big words.
That's my favorite part of Who Said It each week. You just slamming Joe's vocabulary.
My guess is Paul. I could sleep at night if I'm wrong.
I'm not gonna. I mean, look, we've been brother-in-law.
Do you have a good answer?
You've been hot. I thought Paul or Lance initially. So if we're off on our second choice, we might as well go with the one that we both agree on.
Paul. All right, let's do it then. Paul Gallant.
I'm not trading a first-round pick for a receiver who wears floppy sleeves.
Who is Dell? Dang it.
The aesthetics matter to me.
I knew.
I don't want that guy.
Dry.
I'm not giving up a first-rounder for the floppy sleeves receiver.
You're right to dismiss Joe though, because he used the word aesthetics.
That's why I did.
Yeah.
It was Dell.
Damn, we were really close to history there. And Dell came up initially. I was a little worried there for a second.
Yeah, I could see, like, that's exactly how I pictured Dell saying it, but.
What was the one?
I can't believe you said that.
It was like a week ago or 2 weeks ago where it was so, like non-expert football guy, but it was actually tongue-in-cheek the way Lance had said it.
Oh, it was, yeah, I remember what you're talking about. It was the breaking news. Kenyon Green can't block Chris Jones.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there's no way Lance could think that because he knows, you know, he studies all these guys, knows everything, and then he was like tongue-in-cheek.
We were so close to retiring the segment.
4 out of 5.
We won, but I feel like we lost.
I'm never going to say that.
I'm glad we got off the schneid.
I think America lost.
Jeez.
All right. DJ Bienemy covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. It's going to get us the latest on what's going on with the Texans offensive coordinator search. It is the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.